Hello and welcome to Pards Prep. I'm your host, Brad Potts, Assistant Athletic Director for Peak Performance, and I'm here with our co-host, Dr. Julie Amato, sports psychologist.
Good morning, Coach Potts.
Good morning. It's a great morning.
It's a great morning to be a leopard.
That's right. That's right. Expectations are high.
Hey, I like what you did there.
See?
Going right into our topic for today, managing and dealing with expectations as an athlete.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the anxiety that it creates or can create, depending on how you view it or feel about it, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing to try to come out of the box with. Like, are expectations good? Are they bad? Like, the reason that we wanted to sort of bring this topic up is we sort of asked around and what are people interested in talking about? And we got some pretty broad answers. One of the more popular just being mental health. So I said, okay, well, let me think about that. We've got a lot of athletes rolling through my office. And, of course, one of the bigger mental health issues is managing anxiety. But I think maybe at the core of some of that for our athletes is, you know, boiling down to managing expectations.
Yeah. I think that was, that's what we were talking about. Like, to me, it's a good thing. Well, I mean, if you can look at it as a good thing, right? I mean, it was whatever kind of lens you look through is what kind of shapes, I think, what shapes your view, right? I mean, so for me, I think, you know, having a fairly successful fall compared to recent years, and then having some success with some of the winter teams, and hopefully that kind of sort of flows into our spring sports. You know, you're raising the bar, and that's exciting for me. That's exciting. Of course, I'm not the one always out there, you know, in high pressure situations performing anymore anyway, but I think that's just maybe how my viewpoint has been on this most of my life. And I don't know if that's because of, you know, like maybe my youth league experiences. We won a lot of championships there. Like, we went into high school and a little bit, you know, almost like in reference to what you were saying earlier, like with your life experiences, like where you're like kind of have this optimism of like, hey, things are going to work out, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's what shaped my view, but, you know, I could easily see how, you know, maybe a senior in a Lafayette program right now who maybe hasn't experienced a ton of success is, you know, could be sitting there right now going like, oh my gosh, like things are going really well. You know, how much longer is this going to happen? Like, you know, and, you know, what if it sort of falls apart on us? What, you know, how do you respond to that or whatnot?
Yeah, I think that any kind of change like that, so let's even use, you know, our women's basketball team or a men's soccer team as great examples of this. So, you know, early on, you know, they have all these preseason predictions. I'm not a huge fan of these things, by the way. I don't know how you feel about this.
I'm not a big fan of them. Actually, if someone would give me, and I'm sure head coaches feel the same way, an option, like, you don't want to be picked first. If you're picked last, like, that's great, because I mean, it's motivation, you know what I mean? I feel like that's why the media and all that kind of stuff is so shunned.
Yeah.
You know, because it unless you're picked, like, you know, last or in the middle, then it's difficult, you know.
Well, you know, as a sports psychologist, having worked with, you know, athletes who have a ton of success and athletes who haven't had that success yet, or teams, I just really struggle with this idea of naming kids like preseason, like, oh, you made the first team All-American. I'm like, they haven't even played yet.
Yep.
You're already called
up
an All-American. So I think that sometimes, you know, it really depends on how you want to look at those things. And so if you want to look at those things as, hey, that's an honor, or, you know, people are giving me some respect, and you don't allow it to turn into pressure or expectation or something that you're carrying this emotional backpack around, like everybody feels like I need to, you know, live up to a certain standard or expectation, I think that's okay. But with us specifically here, to your point, we've got a new athletic director who's talking about, you know, creating championships.
Yeah.
And so now we're really coming in and saying, hey, we expect certain things. We've got, you know, some coaches that are really demanding a lot of the athletes. And as I brought up with women's basketball and men's soccer, in the beginning of the year, they weren't really getting the preseason notoriety or respect, you know, picked at the bottom of the Patriot League. And in some ways, I think those teams channeled that into, hey, we're just going to work hard. We're just going to do our thing. But now we've got those teams, you know, soccer playing in a championship all of a sudden.
Yep.
You know, that must have been you know, in some ways exciting, but also anxiety provoking for them. And now we've got, you know, some other teams experiencing, you know, I don't want to overlook field hockey, and, you know, other teams experiencing increased success. So we wish for that success, but then how do you sort of manage and navigate that sometimes unfamiliar territory where now people are expecting something from you?
Yeah, I think that kind of speaks to, you know, what we're trying to do, which is like change a culture. That's hard. I mean, because again, and it's just sort of been this way. Like, you know, my prior experience, like, so like stepping onto campus, you know, and playing college football for me, like I didn't feel the pressure to win. It was just because like the culture had already been there. It's been established. Like, you have those kind of players there, and it just, again, it just sort of takes on, like, it's just almost like a learned trait almost. Like, you go in as a freshman, you kind of do what the upperclassmen do, and it's just like, hey, we win. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even if we were down, it was kind of like, well, we'll pull something out here. Like, you know, mm-hmm. It forms this sort of optimistic view on everything, that it's just the ball's going to bounce your way. And mm-hmm. I think that the thing you battle in cultures, you know, that are on like sort of the opposite end of the spectrum, is as you're climbing out of that, you know, you have to sort of overcome this, like, you know, level of self-doubt, or it's got to be somewhat normal, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, how can you form the expectation that you're right. gonna right. you know, that it's gonna, you know, that you're, I mean, I know Coach Garrett's theory or his sort of motto for last year was breakthrough. Mm. You know, it was a good, you know, one word, you know, and then this year it's breakout, you know, it's kind of break away from the pack. So last year we, you know, you basically finished second in the conference. Mm. You know, you come, you know, you get that second in a conference seeding basically because you beat Lehigh at the end of the year. Like, mm-hmm. that was a step in the right direction. You know, they sort of got past that, stigma, what was holding them down. And then to try to break out this year and kind of move away from the conference, you know, hopefully win it, go to the playoffs. You know, but that's year four, you know, it's taken mm-hmm. 4 years to sort of build and progress. And I remember, I forget her name right now, but she spoke with us last year, the head women's soccer coach from Penn State.
Oh, geez, I don't know.
She came in, she did a, you know, continuing education thing with the coaches and stuff, and I remember her mentioning, like, it took her about 6 or 7 years to really kind of establish a culture and overcome, you know, some of the negative things in the past.
Yeah, it's really fun kind of watching our programs trend in that direction. I think sometimes too, the, you know, sort of in the one-on-one sessions where I see athletes or in these team sessions, I think the Winston Churchill quote comes to my mind, perfection is the enemy of progress. And so I think, you know, with some of our really awesome athletes here, they have a little bit of this sense that they have to get everything right. And if they don't get everything right, and if they, you know, mess up at practice or, you know, this isn't every athlete, but so many of them have these high, high expectations of themselves that,
yeah.
I really want them to have high expectations, but at the same time, sometimes those expectations are so high that it just creates a lot of tension for them as they try to compete. And so I don't know if you've ever experienced that, Brad, as an athlete, or if you see that with some of the athletes here in the training room, but certainly in my office, I think one thing I'm really trying to help athletes understand is it's okay to have standards. And that's fine, and we want that, but when are you going too far with the expectations you have of yourself, because some of these athletes expect to just go out there and perform in sort of a perfect manner and not mess up.
Yeah, I think there's like, that's, you know, it's kind of layered there. The funny thing is, when you mentioned that quote, on the front of our summer manual for women's basketball, it legitimately, you know, it's, you know, summer manual Lafayette women's basketball, at the bottom it says progress, not perfection.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, because I mean, I think that's something that, you know, from working here for a while and with that team particularly, I mean, that's been, you know, a theme that I mean, and you can see it just by how, you know, you have so many girls that are, I mean, you have engineers, bio majors. I mean, I know that's the same with our field hockey team too. Like, I mean, you're talking about kids who are taking high level classes, course load that's very demanding, and then they're still, I mean, in all, you know, by all rights, I mean, excelling and doing well on the court. You know, I know like Drew Freeland comes to mind for me. You know, so the pressure is, you know, I feel for them because I can see it. But at the same time, it's funny because I don't know, I sit there, I'm kind of like, you know, like I'm proud of you guys. Like, you know, because like I mentioned you earlier, like I'm not proud of the fact that like, you know, in my like collegiate athletic career, and I'm sure this didn't go for you at Brown, but for
well,
me at a state
don't
school,
be so sure.
It was like, look, like I'm going to do this football thing and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And like, if I get a C, I'm okay with that. Like, you know what I mean? Like I wasn't like I was saying I'm going to be okay with that. Like I was okay with that.
Yeah.
And
to your core, okay with it.
Right. No
question.
But look
at you now, Pops.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's right. Right. I mean,
right.
I think, and that's just what they lack is that perspective, you know, that like, kind of like you were saying earlier, like, you know, things are going to be all right. You know, I don't think, I think because they're amongst a lot of peers who are high achieving, it's also very difficult for them to sort of separate themselves there, so.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm fortunate in the sense that I work with these Ivy League athletes and these Patriot League athletes here at Lafayette College who are just special kids, like uniquely positioned to excel academically and athletically. And, you know, here at Lafayette, like you mentioned, you know, Drew and these other kids on the basketball team and these other teams that we work so closely with, they're not willing to sacrifice one for the other.
No question.
You know, this
is,
they're not going to say, hey, I'm cool with a C.
Right. But in life, you know
that
you have to at one point in time. Right. I mean,
well, like, look, I think that it really is, you know, how you split your pie when you come here. And we've talked about that before. And there's social and there's academic and there's sport. And I think that if your slice of the social pie is too big, those other things are going to suffer. And I think that's the balance these athletes are trying to manage. And now they're being told they need to get a lot of sleep and all this other stuff. And so here they are in this pressure cooker of like, man, I've got to do it all. I've got to get it all right. And I think that's where we see some kids break down. Right. And so I think, you know, part of this here is helping athletes understand, you know, again, that progress, not perfection mantra. We want to put in the work. We want to do everything that we can to succeed. And then, you know, stop worrying so much about all those other things outside of your control and just let the result be what it is.
Right.
I think that's what we're really, really trying to teach when we're trying to get kids to let go of expectation. Like, hey, like I'll rip this little corner piece of paper that's like an inch by an inch and I'll say write down the a couple names. Those should be the only people whose opinion you care a great deal about. You know, we can't worry about everybody's opinion all the time, and I think that's where sometimes, you know, kids get stuck. And so when we can free them of that, when we can get them to just think about focusing on the things that they know they need to do, good habits, things they can control, I think it's much easier, you know, to tune out some of that stuff from the outside, you know, what other people think and what other people expect. It's sort of like, well, what do you expect of yourself? You know, and how can you really manage that day to day without becoming totally overwhelmed?
Sure. So I guess, you know, it'd be a good time to maybe talk about those different strategies and something that you see that has been common in the strength conditioning world lately has been, you know, you see it pop up a lot on social media. It's just like 1% better, you know, every single day, just kind of taking like one step forward. And I know even like for me, I'll try different strategies to be more effective, like in my work day, you know, I know one thing for me coming back into the spring was, you know, with all the technology, like I hadn't been writing much down. You know what I mean? Like just, and you know, I'd miss things, you know, just because I'm not writing it down. And then, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night and I go to lay down and boom, it hits me. Oh my gosh, I forgot to do this. I forgot to do that. Right. And then that creates a level of anxiety itself. And so like in my mind, sort of that 1% better, that, you know, just kind of identifying the holes or areas that I can just, and they're simple a lot of times. You just have to do them. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's just writing stuff down, you know, I mean, I can't rely, I shouldn't, or at least my the past semester has taught me that, you know, plugging everything into my phone, things like that, it doesn't always work. It's not a foolproof system. I still need to jot some other things down, you know, keep, you know, just like a little black book is basically
it's like a tiny man Bible,
right.
Is what
that's
it
right.
is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I could stand there. No one can see me. I can do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just, that has been a strategy that I've seen a lot of strength coaches sort of utilize. It's been a hot topic lately. Just 1% better. Like, what can I do today that's just a little bit better than yesterday? Can I eat breakfast today?
Yeah.
Can I, you know, can I take, you know, 10 deep breaths today? You know,
yep.
3 deep breaths, whatever it is. I'm just trying to add to that and accumulate it over the course of time.
I like that. It's kind of comparing you to you yesterday, which is really important. I think that when kids come into a college setting where in high school maybe they were very easily the best, and then all of a sudden start comparing yourself to everyone around you and everybody's pretty darn good at everything, you know, you can take a hit on your self-esteem. But I do think, you know, if we're talking about ways to manage pressure and manage expectation, I think one of the key concepts is focusing on the process and not the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is something that I'll probably beat to death over the course of teaching kids about sports psychology, but I do think, you know, men's soccer didn't find themselves in the Patriot League championship game by saying to themselves every day, we have to win the Patriot League championship. I think what they said to themselves is, we got to get our sleep, we got to get our nutrition, we work on our mental wellness, you know, these are the reps we're taking at practice, this is what we're doing in the weight room, these are our habits, you know, and so if we focus and hone in on those things, you know, then let the result be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Coach Bond was probably shoving down their throats, we need to win a championship, nor do I think Coach Damon in basketball is doing that either, yet here they are having success.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one way to consider as an athlete in terms of managing expectations, we know you want those results, that high GPA. We know you want to win games. But keeping your attention on the process, the things that you need to do, the little habits that you develop each and every day, the 1% better chipping away, I think that's one way to keep the anxiety at bay. Those are things that are simple and easy to control. Thinking about championship or 4.0, those are things that, you know, maybe, you know, have those as goals to create inspiration, but that's not where you want to put your attention every day.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you hear a lot of the really proven coaches, you know, Bill Belichick, Nick Saban, which Nick Saban was a part of Bill Belichick's staff when he was at with the Cleveland Browns. I mean, you know, those philosophies, you know, I think run deep. You know, you hear Gino talk about it a lot, Gino Auriemma, like just sticking to the process. I think from conversations I've had with some of our student athletes sometimes is, you know, when success doesn't follow that, if they feel like they're almost married to the process, if success doesn't follow that, if there's a talent gap or something,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I think sometimes they fall into a little bit of a tough situation, and
yep.
it's just, I'm just being honest. You
no,
know what I mean?
I like that. Yep.
They're just from, and it's, and
that's real.
Right. And it kind of goes back to where we started with expectations, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think what's kind of cool is if you look at some sports like track or swimming,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I know Coach Daly does an amazing job with our swimmers. Now there's a sport where it's somewhat individual. You know, it's quantified every time you run or every time you swim, you know, there's a time. And I know, and I don't know how many swimmers you talk to, but I feel like it's a group that's always had a generally good perspective on what they're here for and what they're doing. So their expectations are, you know, they come here, they get a tremendous education, they get to be a part of this, and you know, and you hear the get to stuff. They get to be a part of this Division I swimming team. You know, they get, you know, perks with that, going to Florida, different things like that. Get to train in the Maroon Club and all that kind of stuff. And as long as those kids see themselves getting better in the pool, you know, with that sort of quantified time and things like that, I think they're okay with that. And
mm-hmm.
and then it kind of is what you have mentioned earlier. It is kind of like, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's difficult to sometimes it's tough to swallow that maybe it's just your, you know, your best might not be the best, you know? And
absolutely.
But ultimately, for all of us, at some point in time, we're going to get to that, right?
Yeah,
I mean, like,
of
you
course.
Know, I mean, like, I don't know if you've ever, you know, like, you know, you've ever played against some really high-level women's basketball players, but
I sure
you
have.
Learn really quick that, oh, my gosh, I'm not all that great.
Nope, that's absolutely you know? Right. Yeah, and I think there's no magic formula, you know, hey, if you do this, then this is going to be the result.
Mm-hmm.
I just think all we want to do with our athletes and our programs are to kind of emphasize, like, we just want to position ourselves well so that you can survive the mirror test at the end of the day. I looked in the mirror, and what I know is that I didn't allow, like, being in my head to get in my way. I didn't, you know, I showed up every day and did the things I was supposed to do. And so I can accept the result. It might not be the result that I necessarily want every single time. But if I'm, like, always anxious and I, you know, I take three shots and then I stop shooting because all of a sudden I decide I'm not going to have a good day.
Right.
If people expect so much of me and now all of a sudden I show up tense and I'm not prepared and, you know, I'm afraid to fail and all that stuff, I think it's harder to survive the mirror test. So we just really want to get our athletes to be able to focus on the things they can control. And at the end of it, if you get the result you want, great. If you don't, you can usually accept it.
Yeah.
That's the main goal.
Yeah, and, you know, with the expectations, you know, if there is, you know, if pressure is felt, I mean, I think it was Billie Jean King who said, you know, pressure is a privilege, you know. And I believe that. I think it is. Like, I think that level of pressure or something, like, hopefully that can make them sort of smile a little bit, you know what I mean, as we kind of move on. Because, I mean, again, if we're going to really say and buy into progress, not perfection, you know, 1% better, you know, last year, again, using women's basketball as an example, they won the first round or play-in game. I don't know what it's labeled right now within the Patriot League tournament, because I think it might have changed a couple years ago. But that first round win, you know, was a step in the right direction. And and to see the pictures of them after that game, you know what I mean?
Like,
and see Kia after the game, like, you know, like smiling, you know, with her arms up and stuff. I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
The fruits of the labor, right there.
Right, and I guess that, you know, hopefully this year it's maybe another step past that and maybe even further. But, you know, hopefully that kind of, like, just makes them happy inside, because ultimately, like, you know, there should be, right, this stuff should be fun, you know?
Absolutely, it should be fun. You know, the one thing we didn't talk about that I don't know if we have a little time for, but it would feel like a really egregious omission if we didn't talk about the pressure these kids get from parents.
Yeah.
And I think some parents are really awesome, and they sort of just support, and they take that secondary role, and they step back. And then other times I really see kids struggle with, you know, of course your parents are always your biggest fan, and they're going to say that you should be in there, and you should be playing more, and this, and this, and this. And I think sometimes the kid knows and sees, hey, I'm at practice every day, I know where I rank, but I've got this outside pressure of, like, my parent really thinks I should be playing or wants me to be playing, and that feels a certain kind of way.
Right.
You know, do you see some of that? Or, you know,
I do. We do. We hear that. I've spoke with you know, people on my staff, Coach Plunkett. You hear it from him. You know, just, you know, a lot of times, like, between Steve and Matt and I, like, we'll share these sort of stories because they all help each other, right? I mean, it's not, you know, you're not mentioning names or anything like that, but just more or less situations. And yeah, I mean, I think that, again, like, any of those, you know, for us, we're both parents, you know. I think that my advice to most of the athletes that I deal with is just sort of that, like, they really do just want the best from you. A story that I've shared related to, you know, I always kind of think about, like, the idea of, you know, to be great, you want to study the greats of the game or your profession, right? So, like, I always looked up to Barry Sanders, right? I mean, like, I grew up in that era, and he was, you know, the best of the best. And I don't know if you know this or not, but his son, he went to Stanford, you know, so, you know, obviously a very good football player, a very good student. Never went on to play professionally, and I think that kind of fell below the expectations of maybe the son Mm. All right. But the funny thing was Barry Sanders on an interview said, oh, it's not his failure. It's not his fault. It was mine. He said, you know, if I would have been the kind of dad that my dad was to me, I think that he could have, you know, I mean, so, I mean, maybe he's internalizing that and putting the pressure on himself. But mm-hmm. I think he meant it. I think it was truthful where mm-hmm. Barry kind of said, like, you know, my dad pushed me really hard. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take a step back from that because he felt it on the opposite end. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? He felt mm-hmm. the pressure. And so he kind of took a step back being a professional football player. And not pressuring his son. And, you know, he, you know, probably an honest thought in his head was like, maybe if I would have been a little bit more like my dad, maybe he would be enjoying
it. So he wasn't hard enough.
Right,
he
exactly. Wasn't hardcore enough. So I try to sell, just, I mean, I guess it's not a sell. It's an honest, you know, it's an honest opinion that I have is that, you know, like, you're kind of lucky to have a parent that's really, you know, that.
Invested,
yeah, mm-hmm. you know, and I mean, like, you know, if it gets to an unhealthy point, I mean, I know it's difficult to have those conversations, but I mean, I'd always want, you know, any of my kids, you know, athletes, you know, even my own kids and stuff, just to be honest with me and say, like, hey, I mean, I'm doing the best I can, and I think that conversation could, you know, would hopefully, you know, resonate with any parent.
Yeah, you would hope. Yeah, we definitely want our parents to be invested, but certainly allow your kids to have their own experience. And if any of the athletes are struggling with that, I mean, that's certainly a great topic to come in and talk with me about. You know, like you said, as a psychologist and a parent, I can totally help you navigate that one. But sometimes it really just becomes setting a boundary with your parent. Like, hey, we don't need to talk every single day.
Right.
And every single time we talk, we don't need to talk about sports.
Right.
We could talk about other stuff because guess what? Sports are ending for the vast majority of our student athletes when they graduate. So you need to develop and cultivate your relationship outside of that. And you know, sometimes it's gonna be a little weird, but you might be in the position to help your parents understand, you know, sort of how it goes.
And I think, yeah, and I think that doesn't just go with parents. And I mean, I think this always needs to be done respectfully, but like, I feel like, and I don't know if it's an institutional thing or, you know, because I haven't really talked about this with other colleagues. I mean, maybe you have a sense of this, but like, I feel like, you know, an 18 to 22 year old kid right now, like their level, like, of autonomy or how they feel that, like, or how much control they have over their own lives or how they feel like they can sort of, you know, talk to or communicate with a coach or a parent or someone else of authority is so much more submissive than it was maybe 20 years ago.
Right,
you know
what
I mean? Like, where, like, you know, you kind of be like, you know, if it got to a certain point with a coach or somebody else, there's confrontation and sometimes that was, you know, maybe more accepted. I don't know, but I do think that, like, you know, you have to, I try to empower our athletes, you know, where it's like, hey, look, if you do have a problem or an issue, like, you know, like, stand up for yourself, you know, be accountable. Don't be the victim all the time. Don't let people strip you your power all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go have the proper conversations. You know, like, we're trying to prepare them for adulthood and life, right? I mean, and these are things you might, and you know, you might encounter these things on a weekly basis, you know, in life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to just don't let people strip you your power. Like, you know, stand up. If you have something to say, say it. You know, it might not always be perfect or right. You know, you might have to say sorry every now and then, but, you know, to just kind of stay there and lay down and, you know, and just take it all the time.
Yep.
I don't think it's a great strategy either, you know.
I agree. You know, you don't want to talk about, you want to talk to. So if you have an issue with a person, you know, talk to.
And you advocate that, right?
I do.
I've heard you talk.
That's my thing.
Is it the triangle thing? Am I right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, the Cartman's relationship triangle. It's, we don't want to be, as you said, you know, I know victim is a kind of a buzzword, but we definitely want to advocate for ourselves, you know, and if you have an issue with somebody and you're having trouble, you know, figuring out how to broach that conversation, I think, you know, Coach Potts and I are good resources for that. But I think most coaches welcome that kind of honesty and respect to you if you're going to be able to come to them with an issue instead of becoming an issue on the team where you're talking about people, you know, then it looks like complaining.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's tougher for some student athletes because they might see, you know, well, he or she treats him or her different. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, that is true. That's the result. But they treat them different because, you know, of maybe how that person handles himself or something like that. I mean, you know, I know I've seen some, you know, like and I'm not saying we don't have strong personalities. We have kids here who do have strong personalities, and I've watched them, even, you know, Matt Bailey and I, athletic training, have talked about this, right? The trainers won't let me practice. The trainers won't let me play. Well, every now and then that can be the case, you know, when it comes to like an injury where they have to kind of protect them from themselves. But a lot of the times the trainers are being reactionary based on the student athlete's demeanor, opinion, approach. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, I think of an offensive lineman we had last year, Kevin Zadovesky, who played with a completely torn MCL because it was like, no, I'm playing. You know, like, I'm a 22-year-old man.
It's a questionable decision.
And I'm going to play. You know what I mean? Yeah, and so they braced him up.
22-year-old beast of a man, tough man.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah. You know, the kid squatted over 600 pounds. Like, he was strong. He was prepared. And he was going to, you know,
stay. Going to let it ride.
Sure, yeah. And, I mean, I know another kid who was a conference player of the year here, Nick Linder. Who's now also in, you know, Navy SEAL, he's in Special Forces in the Army and stuff like that, does a lot of high-level things there. Like, I remember he rolled an ankle, and Coach O'Hanlon told him if he rolled an ankle and didn't wear his ankle braces, you know, there's going to be a problem. So he comes in at, like, 7 o'clock in the morning. One morning, he's like, I rolled my ankle last night. I'm having a hard time walking today. Like, you know, how am I going to make it through this functional test? The athletic trainers are going to put me through, you know, but his mindset to the whole thing was like, you know, nobody's going to not let me play, and nobody's going to not let me play sort of how I want to play. So, it's also encouraging, and, you know, I think everyone can kind of take inspiration from those kind of things and learn from those things.
I agree. So what's our take home message for these guys today?
You know,
if we could boil it down to
I think progress, not perfection is great. You know, I mean, because to me, I mean, that should hopefully alleviate a level of anxiety, you know, and like you said, at the end of that day, if you can look in the mirror and say, you know, did I do the best I can? Maybe not everything went perfect, but I did the best I can. And that is progress, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think the other key point is that expectations are not necessarily a bad thing. I think it's great for our athletic department and our programs that we're actually starting to increase those. And that's a sign that we're moving in the right direction. And you know, you want to kind of welcome that stuff, like, hey, like, you know, there are standards, and, you know, people do sort of, you know, expect me to put in this amount of work. And I think those are good things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I want our athletes to not worry about failing, to just kind of put it all out there on the line, do the things you know you need to do, and just whatever the result is, all we care about as coaches and staff is, like, put in the effort, have a great attitude, be a good teammate. I mean, those are very controllable things. And so don't create this scenario in your mind that that more than that is really expected.
Sure.
That's much what we want.
Be accountable. Show up on time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, do all the things that don't take any talent. And, you know, if all those things are done and you put it all out there, I mean, that's really all you can do.
Yep.
I mean, you know, and if you think about it, it's the truth. There might be disappointment with that, but again, that's just life. I mean, that's just the way things go. And that's why, you know, I think that people have always looked at sports as that little microcosm of life, right? You know, the successes, the failures, the ups and downs, you know, always getting back up is most important.
I agree.
All right, well, 33 minutes, that's our longest one. That's because we didn't have a third person in here to distract us. We're just going
Just get going.
Yeah. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you soon.
All right.